Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 8:11 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Well, the incoming is the dirty water. The outgoing is the clean water. That is the goal. Bruce Woody is the executive director of, oh my God, all of a sudden I feel so stupid, of the Emerald Coast Utility Authority, ECUA. I'm like, ECUA, what's the acronym for? It just went out of my brain for a second. Bruce, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Great to have you. So yesterday, as you are well aware, the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, came out with the proposed first federal limits on PFAS, so-called forever chemicals in drinking water. We've been long waiting to find out what this would be. I know you guys have been working on testing, and we've got issues related to the proximity of the military bases where they've used some of the foam in the past. There's all kinds of issues here. The thing that I think most people want to know is, what are the levels that the EPA is saying above which we cannot have in our drinking water? What is ECUA doing to comply with the proposed rules or think about this problem, and how much is it going to cost? So we're going to get to all of that. They say 4 parts per trillion. And as I understand it, that's like about the lowest you can detect. They couldn't set it lower because you can't detect it any lower. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's a pretty fair statement. They set it at a rate that nationally various testing labs are relatively available to test down to. With better equipment, expensive equipment, you can test a little lower than that. But as far as setting a national standard, I think that's largely what drove that number.
Okay, so that's a very low number. My understanding, and always feel free to correct me if I get something wrong, that's why I have the experts on. My understanding is that generally what ECUA tries to do is take whatever the limit is on any contaminant and shoots for about 50% of that. You know, so like in this case, 4 parts per trillion is the standard. Your goal would be to shoot for 2. Or I mean, your goal is 0, obviously, but your goal would be to shoot for 2. Given that that's the lowest we can really test for, I assume that's not really a feasible strategy in this case?
Yeah, I think your reference there is that our regulations say on the clean water side for sanitation, we achieve numbers remarkably lower than what we're actually permitted for. We shoot for advanced wastewater treatment standards to help protect our local environment and local waters. Of course, we're talking about drinking water here on this particular side, but yes, our goal is always to not just meet the standard, but exceed that standard. In fact, to that end, the ECUA board and several boards for many years have been making investments at the various wells to install granular activated carbon in various locations to get ahead of the subject. Now, every regulation usually takes years, sometimes even decades of discussion before they're actually formulated. So we've seen this coming for a while and been making investments to try to get ahead of it.
How close are we? I mean, I assume that it's going to depend on the well, and I'm assuming that you've put the GAC filters on in the places that show the higher levels of contamination where you need the most cleaning basically to be done. But how much of a problem in terms of any numbers we have is PFAS for us in this area?
Well, as you said, we prioritize based on, in terms of prior investments, based on wells that have a little higher incidence. It's more common around places such as around airports, military facilities where firefighting foam has been used. But quite frankly, it's in groundwater, it's in rainwater. It's such a widely diverse and used chemical. It's used in Teflon. Water-resistant chemicals are used for things like water repellents for furniture and carpet and things like that. So it's been in the environment for quite some time. As far as our local area, we've got 9 wells already that have full GAC treatment for PFAS. We have another 5 that have GAC that was primarily installed for a different treatment purpose that we'll probably upgrade in the near future to help treat for PFAS. We have another 3 that are currently under construction as we speak. that because we have a decentralized system with wells all over the place, we still have 19 of them that we would choose to add GAC to if we were to blanket the entire area, including those areas that have either no current PFAS testing results showing at the moment.
Okay, so out of the, I think what you guys have 31 wells and 28 are operational right now, and based on the numbers you were telling me, somewhere in the vicinity of a third to a half of them have, well, nine, you said, have the high quality, highest quality available. A handful, five or so, have a next level, very high, but not the highest quality. You're building three more, establishing three more, and then the rest are still, don't have the granular, activated carbon on them. So, and we'll talk about that in a second, but that gives me kind of a picture of where we're at generally for ECUA's well system. Hold on just a second before we talk.
And keep in mind.
Go ahead.
And keep in mind, six or seven of them, we don't even have any testing results for PFAS.
Okay, which, great, right? That means it's not shown up there. We don't need to prioritize those. I appreciate that clarification. We're talking to Bruce Woody. He's the executive director of ECUA. Hang on for just a second, Bruce. Let's get traffic on the fives from Gracie.
We still have some slow-moving traffic on 98. Looks like it's improving, but definitely still present. That's going to be 98 eastbound. Due to an accident at Whispering Pines Boulevard, we have slowdown starting at Navarre Beach Causeway, and we'll clear up after the scene of the accident. See something else? Give me a call to the traffic line. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio.
All right. Thanks so much, Gracie. Back to Bruce Woody, executive director at ECUA. I think most people, and I know myself when I started to learn some of this, just have no idea of the cost and, you know, logistics issues involved in putting these filters in. They probably think that it's just like buying a filter for your faucet, no big deal. What's the cost on one of these granular activated carbon filters?
We spend probably anywhere from $2 to $3 million per well location to install GAC. If we were to install a GAC in all the remaining wells that don't have them currently over the next 5 years, say, we would be adding about 19 altogether, and we would estimate probably anywhere from $45 to $50 million worth of expense.
And how long do they last? How long are they good for once you put them in?
Well, that capital number includes an awful lot of permanent infrastructure, the vessels and the piping, et cetera, to run to the filtration. What is an ongoing operating expense after that initial capital investment is the replacement of the filter media, which is the actual granular activated carbon, $250,000 or so every time that we place new GAC material inside those vessels. What's getting to be more expensive is getting rid of them, the material afterwards. Sometimes we can spend quite a bit more to actually get rid of the material than actually to install new material. That depends on testing results afterwards.
Sure. And so the filters get dirty and they have to be disposed of. And because they're a contaminant, a hazard, it's expensive to get rid of them. So $250,000 to buy them on the front end, more than that to dispose of them. That's for just the filter itself. And I mean, they're generally, I assume they are good depending on the level of contamination that they're actively filtering. So it's going to vary. But I mean, are we talking a year, 10 years, 6 months?
The media gets changed based on the amount of water going through it plus the amount of contamination at a particular well. So
Makes perfect sense.
They may last 2 or 3 years, or they may last as long as five. We actually have one that's been in probably almost 8 or 9 years, and it's just now reaching its end of its useful life.
So we're talking, as you said, something in the $40 to $50 million range upfront costs and then ongoing costs of replacing the filters. I have also heard, and you tell me if I'm wrong about this, that it's not just a matter of getting the money and then buying them, but it's finding them. And especially if this is becoming a national standard, the granular activated carbon, already relatively difficult to find, some of the stainless steel for the encasings and the piping becoming harder and harder to find. And I assume that if every other water agency in the country is going to start trying to be more aggressive at compliance with this proposed EPA rule, none of those problems are going to get simpler or cheaper. Am I right?
Right. Demand raises, then the availability of materials is going to really be a big rate shock as well. In fact, even earlier this year, we've purchased 12 vessels to try to get ahead of that a little bit. That's why we have 3 under construction right now, because we knew that sometime in the next 6 or 8 months at the time that we started that we would probably be seeing eventually a regulation. And the production of those vessels can be, three quarters of a year or more in time between when you order and when you receive them.
So I'm concerned as a citizen, as a drinker and a ratepayer both, I'm concerned. Is there any comfort for me as either in this story, Bruce?
Yes, your main comfort is that the ECU has been investing in GAC treatment for years. Now, back when we first started making those investments, all we had were health recommendations, and eventually those changed to health advisories. And back then, the numbers we're talking about were 70 parts per trillion. Now they wind up being clear down into single digits.
Yeah.
So it's hard to chase a moving target, but even when the numbers were as high as 70, and we had virtually no wells that were in those kind of numbers, we still started making those investments. So we're well ahead of so many other communities.
And you and I were talking briefly off the air about this, but it only stands to reason that as the technology becomes better, both for detection and for filtering, that this standard will actually go down again, because the goal is going to be to get as close to zero as possible. And so whatever we're dealing with now, we may be dealing with even more of this in the future. Well, Bruce Woody, he's executive director for ECUA. As always, Bruce, thank you for being available. I texted you last night at like 9 o'clock and you were available this morning, which is fantastic. Thank you for explaining this to us, helping us to understand it and giving us at least some reassurance that, to the degree possible, ECUA has been working on this for a while and will continue to do so. Thank you so much for keeping our water safe and our picking up our trash and doing our recycling and all the things that ECUA does. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the time this morning.
Yeah, I appreciate the kind comments. Thank you, Andy.
You bet. 822 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620. Online at newsradio923.com or on our mobile app.
End is inevitable, Maverick. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir. But not today.
Let's hope not ever. At least as far as the movies go. All right, let's go right now to Gracie Wolf with traffic on the fives.
Only slowdown is going to be on 98 eastbound. We still have slow traffic due to an accident we had earlier this morning at Whispering Pines Boulevard backing up to Navarre Beach Causeway. It is improving, but definitely still going to see some slight delays. See something else? Give me a call at 850-262-6111. In this traffic report brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping is big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. That's 250-3756. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Gracie. Now David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Russia's ambassador to the U.S. defending the Russian pilots that intercepted a U.S. drone. The jets dumped fuel in front of a drone yesterday, damaged a propeller, forced it down in the Black Sea. The first nor'easter of the season dumped about 3 feet of snow across a lot of the Northeast, also knocked out power across the region. And Quentin Tarantino taking a big step on what he says could be his final film. The Pulp Fiction director's new film has a working title of The Movie Critic and apparently features a female lead. Some have speculated it might be based on the life of film critic Pauline Kael.
Last movie?
Last movie.
He's not that
he
old.
He wants to retire. Move to Florida.
Yeah, all right. David, thanks so much for the update. 827 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, what did I get in here? Somebody texted me and said, back in 97, there was a shooting involving an active duty sailor at Platinum Club, now Club Climax, of course, and said that basically that location has been troublesome for a long time. Which is, I didn't know it went back that far, but I'm not surprised either. I'm really not surprised. And, oh, man, I keep getting texts in here about this parking thing and how much people hate it and how much, like, one of the things that came up in the town hall that Charles Barron D.C. Reeves did earlier this week is, Lisa Dees. Okay, Lisa Dees is the director for parking for the city. And she made a comment, and I'm going to tell you the relevance of this in just a second, but here's what she said, because some of the older folks that were in the audience were complaining about how hard it is to use the system, right?
Sometimes those are intimidating, trying to figure out how to work a pay station when you're late for your event or late for dinner and you didn't know you were going to have to pay to park. And then you walk up to a pay station, all of a sudden there's all these buttons and everything. So we'll actually bring a pay station in and show you how to use that, let you play with it so you can get comfortable.
In other words, they do demos for groups. that want to have them come and explain, like, how to do the pay station thing. So that's good, but it does kind of acknowledge that the thing itself is not easy to understand and that the thing itself is complicated and confusing. And especially, you know, one of the... So not to get into the grand political philosophy argument, but it's worth understanding a little bit of this, that people don't like change, okay? And people don't like to be frustrated over their inability to adapt to change. And so there is a value in doing things the same way and not changing them, okay? Part of the problem with parking in this city is that we just keep changing everything all the time. And that's a problem. Even if each individual step makes it better, and I am not granting that's true at all, just changing things is a problem because people know the old way of doing it. You know, and when you go and you find out that we used to be a free space is now a metered space, and now the metered space requires going to the kiosk, or it involves an app, or it doesn't even have a kiosk because you got to do the app, or it's text to pay or whatever. You know, individually, any of these things might seem easy to your average nimble-brained 21-year-old, but that's not who you've got to accommodate all the time. And so just doing something in a standardized way for a long enough period of time that people can get comfortable with it is key. The fact that you have to educate people how to use the kiosks means that the kiosks are not great. And I know Lisa knows that. David, what do you have coming up, sir?
Well, there's...
News. I'm Lillian Wu. They're selling to start the day on Wall Street, where investors are rattled by European banking worries. There are, however, hints of easing inflation in prices producers pay.
Month to month, February PPI headline negative 0.1. We were looking for a gain for that. Year over year, a gain of 4.6%, but that is a lot weaker than the expectation from economists who were looking for 5.4%.
Fox's Cheryl Cassone. Retail sales, meanwhile, fell 0.4%. There's a manhunt underway for a former Maryland official.
Roy McGrath, who was once the chief of staff to former Maryland Governor Larry Hogan. McGrath was supposed to appear in court at his trial on wire fraud and embezzlement charges in Baltimore on Monday, but didn't show up. That's when a federal judge issued a warrant for his arrest, and the marshals launched an interstate fugitive manhunt for him.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. 43 degrees. The sun shining on a chilly morning here in Pensacola. New kind of vending machine could be a lifesaver. SMA Healthcare has now been installing Narcan vending machines at locations around the state, including in Putnam County. Those machines dispensing a nasal spray that can save people that are overdosing. Each box has two Narcan doses and instructions on how to administer them. Officials in the county where these have first been installed, Putnam County, say they've had an alarming number of overdoses, and they believe the machines could be a lifesaver. Pensacola's mayor says the city is planning to reach out to owners of Club Climax in Pensacola to talk about the recent violent issues at their nightclub.
Yeah, absolutely. I think any time that we have a property or that has a common issue, especially something this serious, it's our duty to look at that and have conversations with ownership and, you know, at the end of the day, do what's best for the city. So it's too early to say what that is.
This comes after a 23-year-old man was shot and killed in the parking lot across the street from that club last weekend. PPD still investigating that murder. As of yet, no arrests have been made. It's not the first fatal shooting at that club. There was another one back in May of 2019. Life in prison for a Pensacola man that was convicted of a home invasion that ended with him allegedly kidnapping a woman, raping her, and stealing her car and debit card. 42-year-old Billy Ray Smith Jr. sentenced last week to life in prison. The home invasion happened back in August of 2021. Representative Alex Andrade's bill to make it easier to sue news media has now made it through the House Civil Justice Subcommittee. That was approved yesterday in a 14-4 vote. The bill now heads to the Judiciary Committee and could head to the full House for a vote. Critics of the bill say it's an attempt to silence the press. Andrade calls it Journalism 101. Says it holds journalists accountable for what they say. It would make it easier for public figures to file defamation lawsuits. Governor Ron DeSantis says protecting Ukraine from Russia's invasion isn't a vital interest to the U.S. right now. In response to a questionnaire from Fox host Tucker Carlson. DeSantis said the conflict was a territorial dispute between two countries and said that the Biden administration's blank check funding for Ukraine is distracting from the country's, quote, most pressing challenges. DeSantis's views are contrary to a lot of congressional Republicans who are in favor of providing more support for Ukraine. A Falcon 9 rocket blasted off into space carrying research equipment for the International Space Station last night. The SpaceX rocket launched at the Kennedy Space Center, carrying 6,300 pounds of research gear and crew supplies for the International Space Station, created a little bit of a light show last night along the Florida Space Coast. And there's a big seaweed bloom, 5,000 miles big, that's heading towards South Florida right now. Scientists at the University of South Florida say all the seaweed could be blanketing beaches all along the Gulf Coast as soon as this June. They say the bloom is twice as wide as the U.S. It's only about 100 miles off the coast right now. It's called sargassum, and they say it could cause a lot of problems when it does finally wash up. It's 8:35 right now at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at your traffic on the fives.
We still have some slow-moving traffic on 98. This is going to be just at Whispering Pine Boulevard, where we had an accident earlier this morning. But it is improving a lot, but definitely going to still see some slight delays right there. Throughout 98 in Gulf Breeze and Tiger Point, we're looking good. And Three Mile Bridge and Garcon Point Bridge, as well as I-10 and I-110. Nothing to slow you down. If you do see something on the roads or you see an accident and have some details, give me a call to the traffic line. That's 850-262-6111. And this report is sponsored by Discover. Discover credit cards do something awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically doubled the cash back that you've earned. That's right. Everything that you've earned doubled. See terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Another beautiful sunny day today with temperatures slightly cooler than average. High today near 65 degrees with mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. We'll warm up slightly as you go into Thursday, high near 72. Mostly sunny skies Thursday, and Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, sunshine. 43 in Pensacola, 45 in Gulf Breeze, 39 in Milton. Our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime, News Radio 92.3.
Join the Escambia County Department of Purchasing this morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they discuss their upcoming new task order program. They will be discussing how this process will allow for streamlined competitive bidding among qualified vendors. If you or someone you know wants to do business with Escambia County, then tune in this morning at 9 and learn more about the task order program.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
If you haven't been to Home Outlet, you're missing out on the best value on kitchens, baths, floors, and more. You could be saving big on your kitchen remodel with in-stock cabinets starting at $78 per linear foot and in-stock countertops starting at just $63. And with the guaranteed lowest price, you can be sure you're getting the best value for your project dollar. Visit us in-store or shop online for in-store pickup at homeoutlet.com.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Hey Pensacola, News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore.
goodbye.
All right, Gracie, you ready? It's your first day filling in. We had Jenna the last 2 days, so you get to fill in, and we get to your favorite part of the show.
Here goes nothing.
The frivolous part of the show. All right, my son brings this one up to my attention yesterday, and I thought it was a fair question. Here's a question. He says to me, Dad, you know, when you've got the bottle, the condiment bottle, like, you know, the ranch dressing or the ketchup or the mustard or the A1 sauce, obviously, like any normal human being, you shake it first to equalize out all the contents and make sure that it's properly mixed so it didn't settle out, sediment out, because he's an engineer, so that's what he thinks. He says, when I see people go to use the condiment bottle and do not do that, I just have pity on them. I feel like they're so sad. And I said, well, maybe don't go quite that far down the scale, but my question for you today is 437-1620. Do you or don't you shake, rattle, and roll the condiment bottle before you use it? Now that I've given you that big setup and the condemnation built in, Gracie?
I know. I don't want your son to hate me, but I wouldn't say I shake, rattle, and roll it. I would say I kind of, the first little gloop.
Like there's an inversion and a violent jerk stop kind of motion
so
to it.
Yeah, so that's going
to
shake
not
it up on the way down.
Okay, so but that's not to shake it. That's not to mix it. That's just to get what was in the bottom in the top where the squeeze is going to come out.
Yeah, so my thought process isn't, I got to shake this up because if not, I'm going to hate this situation. But
You ever put 437-1620, do you shake or mix with intentionality your condiments before you use them or not? Have you ever gone to put mustard on a hot dog and you just get that little, I mean, the mustard peas on your hot dog. Like, it's not mustard, it's mustard pea, right?
I would say it does vary between condiments because mustard you
some
have
are known.
To.
Yeah.
Because that's
so unsatisfying. And once you've done it, you're like, ugh. And ketchup, same thing. Mad. Ketchup waters out, sediments out a little bit, and so you get that water on the top. And if you,
like mayonnaise is fine.
Yeah. Ranch dressing, for example. Yeah. No. Italian dressing, you shake it for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? You have to. Vinaigrette, anything like that, you'd have to. 437-1620. Somebody's already texting me and saying mustard pea is gross. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, the first little squirt,
it's like you got to stir up your sour cream before you get that out, too.
Do you?
Yeah, because it gets watery at the top.
Well, if it does have, then yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. Same thing for like the your yogurt or whatever. Same kind of thing. That's the stirring of that. That's not a condiment, but yeah, I agree. Well, the sour cream is
thing.
For sure.
It kind
of. 437-1620. Somebody here says it depends on the bottle. If it's open at the top at a restaurant, no. Otherwise, yes. Somebody here says, let's see, you've got to shake it for all you're worth. Shake your money maker. All right. Somebody here says, I should, I know, but I don't always. You know, sometimes you forget. You know, sometimes habits take a little time to develop. You know, you just got to get it. Do you, now this, similar problem, Parmesan? Do you shake that first in order to declump it a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. Of course, again, sometimes that's open to the air, which not in Florida. I don't know why that exists in Florida, but you got to declump it a little bit, and that's kind of the same basic thing, right?
Yeah, I feel like it always clumps at the bottom, especially towards the end.
Definitely so.
Not good.
437-1620 mustard pea is gross. Let's see. For a bartender here, I shake everything not stirred. Nicely done. Well done. All right, I appreciate that. Somebody says, "What about condiment packets?" Ooh. Oh, you know, I never see. We have the smartest audience because if you think about it, if a big container of mustard or ketchup can settle out and therefore not be ideal to use, do you fiddle with the mustard or the ketchup pack? No, but I've never had the problem either. Why is that?
I don't know.
When you squeeze a mustard, mustard. I have seen that. Ketchup, I've never seen that. Why is that? Why doesn't ketchup or mustard as much have that problem? Mustard more so. I never thought this. I love doing this show. You learn things every day. What'd you learn today, Dad? Well, I learned that you ought to be thinking about your condiment package.
We have to ask your son.
I will.
He'll know the answer.
He will know the answer. Shake, rattle, and roll, but the first you have to pick off the dried, gross skin left on the spout. Yeah, that sometimes can be an issue. I agree. My sweet stepdad called the yellow mustard pea baby poop, and he avoided it like the plague. Anybody who's been a parent can sympathize. Always violently shake the sugar at the Waffle House before adding the coffee, or it could clump and not pour, or clump out on you, right? You don't want a big, bloop, bloop, dropping, and that's the sound it makes.
We have a celebrity. That texted in too.
Oh, look at this. Day after her birthday, Pi Plus One lady, Candy texted in and said, "Hey, it's Candy. I shake everything also, and I'm so bored at home right now." That's awesome. You're welcome back anytime. LOL, she says. Someone here says, "I've had watery ketchup come out of a condiment bag." Okay, so that really is an issue that I had not even been thinking about that we ought to solve for. Yeah, and when it comes to, I think of like A1, okay? Yeah. A1 is one that you shake, right, before you put that on. Barbecue, I think what you learn, if you're paying attention, you know, as a scientist, is you learn which things are likely to need it. Barbecue sauce, not so much. You know, ranch, blue cheese, not so much. Vinaigrette, oh yeah. Mustard, oh yeah. You're going to have to do it. So, this is why I love talking to people. And, you know, my son brings up this question yesterday, and I'm like, oh, we should definitely talk about this tomorrow. This is good. All right. And so here's the problem. Let me tell you this in advance. Later on today, when you go to grab the condiment bottle, and you're going to be like, what was he talking? Ah, that Andrew. You're welcome. Gracie Wolf has traffic on the fives.
We're still seeing some slight delays on 98. That's going to be at Whispering Pine Boulevard. But other than that, we're looking good. I-10 and I-110 not showing anything to slow you down. We do have slowdowns on I-10 getting into Mobile. But other than that, we're good. See something else on the roads? Give me a call to 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you've got an import, a BMW, a Porsche, a Mercedes-Benz, Genesis, Audi, Jaguar, a Lexus, you might think in order to get that car serviced, you've got to go to the dealership. You don't. You don't. You can save money, and depending on where the dealership is, you can save time and inconvenience and go to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on those cars all the time. No problem. Diesel engine, no problem. They work on that. It's a little different than gas. Not everybody does, but again, you don't have to take it to the dealership. You can take it to Bobby Likas. They want to see you often, or, you know, relatively often, in order to avoid seeing you for the catastrophic big thing. They call it preventative maintenance, right? Why? Because you are preventing the big thing. I mean, I don't mean to, like, you know, mansplain or anything, but that's the idea. Just like your body, you want to go to the doctor periodically to get checked up to prevent the big thing or catch it early. Same thing. Go regularly, routinely, get that maintenance done, the regular scheduled maintenance, and then make sure you prevent the big stuff. 2021, they were named a Carfax top-rated service center, 4.5 average reviews or above. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
Say Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory, to our truck, to your driveway. Most of the window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing. Please take the time to visit newsouthwindow.com.
Call now, 1-800-NEW-WINDOW.
Lenny went to college and racked up huge debt.
A little bit over $100,000.
For a degree he couldn't use? Now what?
I had a friend that went to my computer career and they talked to me about it.
He was done in just months.
I did do it online.
They even helped him get hired immediately after graduation.
One of the things I love about IT is that you can work from anywhere you want.
You could become an IT pro in just months with zero experience at My Computer Career.
It worked for me and I know it can work for you.
It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time. For those 10 seconds or less, I'm free.
Till you want me like I want you. Till you love me like I love you.
I'm gonna shake you.
I asked for you to look at me as your colleague, but also as
a woman in gender studies major who is grateful for those experiences and as someone who wants to make sure other students have the same.
This is Anna Eskamani, one of the foremost Democrats in the House of Representatives in the state of Florida. I like Anna. She's always a good contributor to the topic. She definitely brings the best version of the opposite side to a lot of these conversations. And she says, look, I studied gender studies. I'm here. I'm a good contributor. I'm a productive member of the legislature. I depended upon Bright Futures. I couldn't have gone to school if we didn't have Bright Futures. So the idea that I could have gone to a private college and learned about gender studies, I wouldn't have been able to afford that. That's why you have to preserve these programs at the University of Florida, FSU, UWF, for example. Understand the argument. I take her seriously. And yet what I think in my head is, and imagine how much more productive she could have been as a citizen if she hadn't had all of her genuinely, I say this genuinely, great potential squandered on a gender studies degree. Like, imagine if she'd have studied something that was really useful and not so mistaken. That's what I think when I look at her. It's not that I'm not glad she is there. I just think, man, how much better it could have been. And that's the general thought is, like, all the money that gets spent on these programs, this is the HB 991 that Alex Andrade has been, or sorry, 991 is the defamation bill, 999 on reforming higher education in line with the standards we passed last year for, you know, all of the things related to race and gender and sexual orientation. And, you know, the idea is you have so much money to spend on education and you want to constantly be thinking about what is of benefit to our society economically, culturally, in terms of viewpoint development, the capacity to think and solve problems. What's of value to our society? And are we allowing people courses of study in publicly subsidized institutions of higher learning? It is publicly subsidized. That is not go learn whatever you want to learn. You know, there are all kinds of things that people pay to learn, and it doesn't mean that it ought to be something that they learn at college or at university. There are some things we don't teach. Some things we don't teach because they're wrong. You know, we don't teach racism, right? For a reason, because it's wrong. It's evil, okay? Also, I would say we shouldn't teach critical race theory because it is just as wrong and just as evil, right? It really is. So that's why we're prohibiting that stuff, because we're saying that's not a good use of the public dollar. Other things are better, and we have to constantly be thinking about how we use the scarce resource of public funds in order to make higher institutions of learning work properly. Now, it's interesting. There were some interesting things said during this hearing that, again, the bill has a lot of components to it. Things like you can review tenure for cause. You already can review tenure every 5 years. Okay, so that's not really that big of a deal. That's just saying that when somebody screws up bad, you can also review it right then. Making sure that the university is in line with the standards that the state has passed regularly, hiring to be done of faculty by only the board and or the president of the university. I raised that question with Alex. I said, is that logistically feasible? That was a question some of the professors raised yesterday. But the answer is it's harder to do it that way. It's going to be time consuming for them to do it that way. But the flip side is you get all this tremendous confirmation bias, and you tend to hire people who think and talk like you when you have the faculty hiring their own peers. And that's a challenge. That's why we've gone so far down this road towards conformity in Ivy League institutions, is precisely because, you know, the social workers are all convinced of the truth of the various things that they tell each other about social work. And instead of doing real science where you bring in diverse viewpoints and alternative views, you just bring in more people who reinforce what you say. And you kind of turn that into a litmus test or a purity test or like a McCarthy-ish test, which, by the way, this law prohibits having that. So that's why the value of having somebody who's neutral and objective, say the board, hire people instead of having the people, you know, in the department hire them. Anna Eskamani said something else I thought was kind of interesting. 150 people showed up to talk. They did not all talk. They only got 30 seconds apiece, and some of them flipped out about that even. But she said this.
Representative Andrade, I line 120, you added promote citizenship and a constitutional republic. You didn't have to file a bill to even do that. The citizens are here. They are active. They are showing up in opposition to this bill overwhelmingly.
It is overwhelming. There was one person who showed up in favor of the bill. Only one person. That doesn't mean anything politically. Because the people who are in support of the legislators who they voted for to put in a position of authority in order to make decisions like this voted overwhelmingly for the Republicans. That's why it's 12-5 on the committee. the fact that 150 angry students showed up and one student came to support them, that really doesn't mean anything in terms of the overall authority. So just because that's what showed up in the room really doesn't mean anything. So, and by the way, I do want to give her a chance to speak, the one student who showed up. I'll get that in a second. Then we've got, before that, let's get traffic on the fives with Gracie.
No slowdowns to report. I-10 and I-110 running smoothly, and our slowdowns on 98 throughout Navarre have cleared up. If you see something else on the roads, give me a call at 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3.
Very good. So this is Christina Puig from FSU, the one lone brave conservative who showed up in this room of, and look, I like a lot of liberals. I get along really well with them. Some of my best friends are liberals. But really, the screaming and spitting crowd, not all of them, but there was an awful lot of that, like really ferocious. I was talking to Alex Andrade about this. When they got done with the vote, they're chanting shame. And I'm like, what were they chanting? He says shame. And that was the part you could hear, the profanities you couldn't hear. I'm like, I believe it.
Hi, my name is Christina Puig. I'm a student at Florida State University. And I would just like to thank you, Chair, for this opportunity to speak and thank the sponsor for this good bill. And I am happy to see that the conservative students have a voice here in the Florida legislature. I know that there is a lot of vocal oppositions, but many conservative students like myself are happy to see this legislation moving forward. And thank you to the sponsor, and thank you, Chair.
We're just not going to come here to say it. Man, kudos to her for the bravery. You also had just kind of an odd little note, and I play this only because from Pensacola I picked up on it. A woman who said she was proud of the history, a poli-sci student at UF.
Good evening, everyone. I am Imari Harris, a political science major in her last semester at the University of Florida. What I believe this bill is forgetting is that this is not K-12. I am an adult. The classes that I am a part of were a decision. If you pass this bill, you'll be forcing thousands of students to find different paths in schools that already have a history of pushing us out. My great uncle was the first black person to graduate from the Levine College of Law at the University of Florida, and that was only in 1962.
The Levine College of Law? The Levin? Fred Levin, his name is on the building. You know, just like, it's little things you look for sometimes to find out whether people are, you know, serious students or not. And I don't know anything about this woman other than the one thing she said here, which was to get a fairly significant pronunciation to her wrong. And maybe that's how they say it at FSU in Tallahassee. I don't know. I just thought it was a weird moment. 437-1620. I'll tell you one other thing that caught me by surprise. Maybe I'm insulated from the academic world a little bit more these days. I'd never heard this so frequently.
You were recognized. Thank you. Nicole Morse, they, them pronouns from FAU, speaking as an individual.
And
good afternoon. My name is Joe Saunders. My pronouns are he, him, and his, and I serve as the senior...
Who cares? Oh, my God. But it's like an identity for them to say that. To say the name and my pronouns as an ally, as a representative, as an acronym friendly, as... Anyway, 437-1620. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, I recommend Frontier Motors. A great place to buy good quality used cars. 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, good condition. A new car that you don't have to pay a new car price for, basically. That's their specialty, is getting you into cars that are almost like new, except that you don't have to pay the price for it. And, you know, look, they do all kinds of things, including having a great selection of vehicles on the lot, about 300 at any given time, trucks, cars, vans, SUVs. Drive a bunch. Drive 4 or 5. Sit in them side by side. Compare them. Drive something outside your familiar range and decide whether that's really the right thing for you or not. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, kind of an abbreviated future news here with Gracie, where we tell you the truth before it's true. Will we have the skate track in Milton, the speed skating track, world-class facility, first of its kind in the United States, done in about a month?
Yes.
Yes. Woo. Will we have the world championships, the U.S. championships here this year?
Yes.
Will we have world championships here within 4 or 5 years?
I think so.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is an amazing, absolutely amazing thing. Will Memphis Pristone be taken off the market by this judge today?
Yes.
So it'll be stayed. No, if he decides to do that, that would be stayed. So it won't have any effect today.
Your home
today.
For Dave Ramsey. Weekdays 1 to 4 is News Radio 92.3 WNRP Golf Free.